an enemy of faith, an enemy of faith, and James chapter 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing." At the end of that verse, it says that you'll want nothing when you do the previous things. Sometimes we want to speed things up in our lives. It says here in this verse, James is saying that when we get into trouble and trials, the easiest thing to do is take the shortcut. And we get impatient and we try to help God out. Anybody ever try to help God out? You know, you try to make sure that he doesn't forget, and that you begin to put some extra measures in so that you'll get what you really believe in your heart that you want happen immediately. And today we have many things. You know, we have things like instant this, instant that. We have information at the fingertips. Just go on your smartphone. You don't have to wait for your favorite television program. No, all you have to do is just download stuff. Go to Netflix and watch the whole program. Get just really go on a bender. For a whole weekend, watch the whole thing of Seinfeld. 9 years. And then Gilligan's Island. You know, I don't think you could find that. But anyway, you just go ahead and you're not, you know, I was like that. That's why I couldn't read books. I would want to know what to happen at the end. So, so people, you have to understand something here. James is saying, he's a disciple, or at least an apostle. He says, you have to count it all joy. He didn't say it is joyful, didn't say it's actually having a great time. He said, consider it or count it as joyful. So we have to keep our joy during those tough times of temptations. And that word temptation, don't let that throw you off. Temptation is more than just being tempted of, getting off on whatever addictions you have, maybe, or something like that, or if you're, you know, having a temptation with a woman, if you're a man, or a woman, or a man, woman with a man. It's just more than those kinds of temptations, falling into temptation. The word fall actually just means, you know, when you come up against. Didn't say you fall into it, you know, in that sense, you come up against it. That's what the word fall means. You're coming up against, you're facing, or another way, you're confronting a multitude of problems. Now, you have to understand what these multitude of problems is, that temptations means tests and trials, hard times. And I don't think anybody here doesn't ever go through a time when you never have a hard time. Sometimes you'll have a smooth sailing. It's like the weather, you get out there, it's nice out there, then all of a sudden you have this big storm. But it says, consider it or count it all joy when you come up to these multitude of troubles. And sometimes we want to, you know, just go through the thing real quickly, let's get it over with, and let's go to the end here. I want to let you know that sometimes you're going through a trial, you have to go through the storm in order to get to your destination. Sometimes God leads you to a certain direction, and then you're going to come up against certain trials. How many people ever found that out? That, you know, when you're walking with God, you will encounter trials, no matter how close to God you are. For example, as we look at before in the fourth chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. I want us to look at that for a moment, just as an example. In Mark chapter, I believe chapter 4 there. And In verse 25, Jesus is with his disciples. You know, his disciples were very close to him. They were together in the ship. The same day, verse 35 of chapter 4 of Mark says, when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And sometimes we have a very hard, or at least short memory, because if God spoke to you to enter a college program or university program or to go a certain direction, it's easy to forget if you feel led, and of course we should all be led by God to do certain things, that we forget that God is with us. And God is with us right now. I don't know if you know, God's here right now. He's everywhere. And he's not always in manifestation. His power is not always, in the natural manifested, but his power is here. And the disciples were with Jesus, and yet they had the problem. They encountered the storm, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, verse 36 said, even as he was in the ship, and there were also other little ships. Verse 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind. It says a great storm, not just a little wind, but a great storm. Maybe some of you are going through some of your hardest times, and you wish that the storm would pass fast because it's not very pleasant. And so this wind, the storm, was beating the waves. Of course, was beating against the ship, so it was now full. It was full of water, and you know what's the next thing is they're going to sink. That's what they're thinking, and that's what the thought is here. And he was in the hinder part, or Jesus was, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And during the hardest times of life, we ask God questions, theologically questions, we ask God, where are you? Well, he's right there with you. He's there with you even in the toughest moments of your life. Amen. You might feel alone emotionally. You might be distant from people. But right now, God is there with you. And the Bible says there here that people ask that question, and maybe you are asking that question. God, where are you? I'm having a hard time here. I wish this was over. Please get this over with very quickly because, you're running out of patience. Because you got a lot of trouble. And these guys, they were with Jesus traveling. Can you imagine that? They're traveling with Jesus in the ministry. They gave their lives up to God. Come on now, anybody? They gave their lives to Jesus. They surrendered to God. Now they're serving with Jesus. They're serving with the man of God. They're walking. They're seeing the miracles. They're seeing the prayers answered. They're seeing the supernatural power of God. And yet, they experience a rough spot in their lives. And I don't care how many miracles you've had before, or if you ever had a miracle in your life happen to you, as long as you're in this earth suit, this body of yours, you will encounter more trials. And you just better be ready to learn to be patient and ride out the storm. Now, it says that they said, do you care that we're dying here? Verse 38 says, you're perishing. In verse 29, he rose and rebuked the wind, said it to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? During some of our toughest times, we need to remain steadfast with our faith. And if Jesus said to them at the beginning of the storm that we're passing to the other side, they are passing to the other side. Notice in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and they came over to the other side. I want you to notice they came over, just like Jesus said. Verse 1 there in chapter 5, he says, and they came over to the other side. I also want you to notice, even though they went over to the other side and they came to the other end of it, they encountered another situation. They encountered a man who was demon-possessed. Sometimes you go through different trials and You figure, you said, oh man, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that the storm is over. And then all of a sudden you get this demon-possessed man looking at you. You thought you just had some peace. Huh? And so that's what happened. So I just wanted to bring that up because to know that the different trials that we go through, we think, you know, hey, I'm glad this one is over with. How many people understand this? I want you to know and see this truth in this word, that these guys were traveling with Jesus in the ministry and going through life together. And yet they encountered this trouble. And sometimes we make our own trials by making mistakes. However, there are times when God calls you to walk with him and you'll still encounter trials because you have an opposition or an opposer called the devil. And he's going to make sure that you have trials to discourage you so that you can turn back and not answer the call of God or what God wants you to do. So those are two important thoughts to think about. So the word patience, what is patience? W.E. Vine of New Testament Words Dictionary said, the meaning patience means endurance. You know, if you're going to run a marathon, you need to have endurance. You're going to go through, you know, the tough time where you're running, but, you know, you go through the tough time where you're just about giving up. You have to dig in and press in some more. The meaning, it also means that you stand or stay right where you are, no matter what comes your way, that you must press on. And sometimes you need people to help you to do that, and thank God that we have fellowship with people who can help us to press on. It's hard to do that if you're alone with your own thoughts. There's nobody to challenge your thinking. Because sometimes you think you're the only one that knows about life. You need other people to coach you. And so, this patience also means to stand unwavering. Unwavering. We talked about last week about doubting means to waver. So during a tough time in life, we might doubt, did God say that? Did God tell us to do what we're doing? You know, James, he talks about there later on, if you in this chapter that we, chapter one, we were just reading there, he talks about wavering. We looked at that last week. Wavering, you know, doubting means to waver, to have two opinions about certain things, because the devil will certainly give you his opinion. It means to stand unwavering and unchanging. In other words, don't change your course, don't relent or give up, and change direction and run the other way, run back to the world, run back to Egypt, so to speak. I remember, you know, you read those chapters, you know, you read the book of, you know, you're reading the stories of the Israelites. And every time they had trouble, they always said, you know, I didn't have this trouble when I was back over there. I'm serving God. And how come I'm having all this trouble? Why do I have all these trials for? I didn't have as much trouble now as I do serving Jesus. So these Israelites, you know, is a type and shadow, and they question whether or not Moses should have led them and why God led them in the first place. He said, did God, you lead us over here to kill us? So during those tough times, you're going to have these theological questions about whether or not God said something or whether or not God is leading you or is he actually, you know, going to protect you. So let's go to our opening text, James 1 and 2 and 3. Let's read those two verses. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith, the trial, or your faith is on trial. You understand that your faith is about what you believe. Your faith is about what you believe, about what you believe you're supposed to do or where you're supposed to be and what you should be doing. You believe that God has led you to Thunder Bay. God has led you to Faith City Church. God has led you to get married, or God has led you to have this job, or do this, or whatever it is, or give this much money to God, or ministry. And suddenly you have a trial on your hands. The devil's going to come and he's going to challenge your thinking, make you doubt God, make you question God. That's what the other opinion is all about, wavering, going back to what the devil says and going back what God says. And we mentioned to you in Mark chapter 9, the man who had the son who was a seemingly epileptic or something. He had, you know, he had seizures and he was foaming at the mouth. He ran into the fire it seemed like he had suicidal tendencies or something like that. He was running into water to drown. And the disciples brought, or at least this man brought his child to the disciples. And there was such a commotion because these disciples, understanding, they supposed to help this man because God, Jesus, had already gave the disciples the ability to cast devils out. And they could not because they doubted. And Jesus said so. And so the man asked Jesus to help him. He said, "Help me out, Lord. If you can do anything about this, please help me." And Jesus asked him a question, answered him with a question. He said, "You know, it's not what I can do about it, it's what you believe about it." And during your storm, you have to ask yourself the question again, what do you believe about the situation? Are you supposed to be there? If you're supposed to be there, then you can have the endurance that your faith is being tested to go to the other end. So, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, or that your faith is on trial, you understand that your faith is what you believe about life, about something, about your ministry, about your job, or about anything about that. And so you believe that Holy Spirit gave you a leading or gave you a word on something, and then all of a sudden now you're being tried and being tested about it. The devil's going to test you about finances. He's going to test you about your relationship. He's going to test you about whatever it is you believe in life. And he does it. The word temptations, I think there's a great word in the Greek where it talks about temptations. It means to be tested with fire, to be tested with such great pressure. The word temptations, it means to have great pressure on you. Everybody say pressure. So, in our time of trial, when we should be patient about it, and you can be patient during that time, it's not all about you, because God put in you the ability to stand. You don't just depend on yourself. You have to turn that over to God, and He'll help you through those tough times. Come on now, people. He's going to help you through every test you have. He's not going to abandon you and say, "I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry you're going through a tough time. I'm busy over here." He's going to be there with you, going through the tough time, the testing, the hour of testing. And if you ever not been tested, you will be tested. Just get ready for it. Because the storms of life will call to everybody. Matthew 7 says so. If you read Matthew 7, the last four or five verses of Scripture, it tells you there at least 24, 25, 26, 27 verses. It'll tell you that the storms of life come to everybody. And you have to be patient during those times. And find Scriptures. And stand on them and quote those Scriptures and talk back to the devil. I like what Brother Mark Hankins, he says, you can't face your giant with your mouth closed. You have to open your mouth and fight back and talk back to the enemy. Talk that sickness in your body. Look at that financial pressure and say, talk back to it. Talk back to the situation. Jesus spoke to the wind. He spoke to the demon. He spoke to the mountain. He spoke to all these things. And we need to talk back to our mountain. and tell about what God has done and what he's provided, what he's going to do. He doesn't care. The devil don't care how wonderful you look. You just got a new haircut. He'll come and check you out. Nice shiny suit. You know, he said, oh, we won't bother him. He's got a nice haircut. No, he'll come right to you and attack you. So, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patient, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be entire, or maybe perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So the end result is that you will get to what you wanted to, what your faith is aiming for. So patience, you know, with patience, you can't get patience. You get patience by getting to the Word of God. Standing on the Word. Going to the Scripture. You can't get patience by asking somebody to pray for you. You don't get patience by saying, hey, pray for me, I'm having a hard time, you know. No, you're just going to have to endure. Sorry about it. You know, you're running a race. You know, you're running a race. You know what? I'm tired about it. Can you help me run this race? No, you got to run your own race. Amen. I said, you got to run your own race. Amen. No one can run your way, race. If God told you something, you run the race. And God will help you endure to go through that trial. So you can't get special prayer. You can't get hands laid on you. You can't receive patience by with a special anointing. You don't get patience by any of those things, laying on hands in prayer and, you know, getting somebody to put some oil on you, sending your prayer request to some prayer line. No, you get patience because you learn how to get patience. You learn patience through the Word of God and by practicing the Word. It's time to make the effort to develop your faith, for the day will come when you'll be challenged in your faith life. The Bible gives us Abraham as a solid example. We gave you one example here of the disciples. They had a storm and they had to stand strong with Jesus. They didn't jump off, you know, in the boat and turn around and said, "Let's, you know, I'm getting out of here." First of all, we just went through a storm, Jesus. Now there's a demon-possessed man after us. Some of us want to walk away. So when problems and tests comes and trials and we're challenged, God tells us to rejoice. He tells us to rejoice in the fact that he's already provided a way, an avenue for us to help. The word perfect in this verse of Scripture means, you know, it doesn't mean somebody is without imperfections. It just means that, you know, it's about growing. Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says sometimes we have to learn not to quit when it's time to continue to move on. Quitting would be an easy thing. Let's go to, as we mentioned to you, Romans 4. Let's go look at Romans chapter 4 and see what it says here. In Romans chapter 4, the Scripture tells us that Abraham is an example, a father of faith to us, an example. It says in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, verse 16, to the end of the promise might be assured that all the seed, not to the only them which is of the law, that's the Jewish people, but also them which is of faith, that's us, the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you father of many nations. Before him, as I mentioned to the group last night, the word before him means like unto or like God. Abraham, in other words, acted like God. He began to employ that faith that God has given us. He says, whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, called those things be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken to him. So shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considers not his own body now dead when he was over 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. We'll see in other verses of Scripture that Abraham had to be steadfast. It says in the Scripture that Abraham didn't stagger. He had a choice to stick with God, to stick with the Word, stay on the topic of the Word of God. It's good to be around people who know the Scriptures. So patience also means, the word patience, and we talked about patience there earlier, it means that we're going to endure, we're going to stand or stay right where we should be no matter what comes to pass. We're going to stand unwavering and unchanging. We're also, the Bible talks about another example of the word, to be patient. It means to abide under. To abide under. You know, I like that scripture. Somebody reminded me today when I went to the doctor's office with somebody, and they said, hey, I walked into the doctor's office. There's somebody sitting there. I guess he'd been watching the television programs and maybe read the book. I don't know. I didn't ask him. He was so quick on me, jumped on me. He said to me, I mentioned some things, and we were kind of my daughter was a little bit, taken because this guy knew a lot of things about me, maybe more than her, because she needs to read the book too. You're reminded, and he talks about, he said, I like that scripture there, about the we should abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, he said to abide under the shadow. He started teaching me right there in the doctor's office. He said, the shadow of the Almighty means you're abiding on the protection of God. The shadow of the Almighty. We abide under him. We're under his protection and his care. Psalm 91 says that we're he who abides, dwells in the secret of place. Most high shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the protection of God. Amen. It talks about being persistent. Sometimes we are impatient. We get impatient when we start to help God out. I believe we see that in the Bible, that people try to help God out because God promised something, and then because it was taking too long, God's taking too long, so they try to make things up. And they get into trouble. Because when we're impatient, we give up. We don't press in. And so because we are succumb under the pressures. And that's what James said when we come under the, he says, count it all joy when you come into the diverse temptations. The word temptations means to be pressured, to have pressure on your life. How many people know the devil comes to put pressure on you? If you believe in healing, right? And he puts pressure on you so that you'll relent and quit about believing something. Whatever it is. Healing, faith, believing in where you're supposed to be. How many times, people say, God led me here. God led me to do this or do that. And all of a sudden they have trouble and something happens at home and they run home to fix it. I remember my wife and I, we were in Rhema and training, Bible training, we're in our first year there, and the church back here had trouble, and we wanted to talk to one of our advisors, and we sat down with one of our advisors, and said, we got to go home, man. This everything's falling apart over there, and we said, if God calls you, did God call you here? And it's up to you. And in the final analysis, we have to decide ourselves and make the decision to quit. And in the end, anyway, God's not going to ask anybody else about your life. He's going to ask you about your life. Because you have to give an account of your own life. And so we thought we're going to come and help out and leave early, and leave our assignment early and leave somewhere. And I found, listening to somebody who's older in the Lord, this is some of the toughest places that God led me in life. is where I learned the most about me, where I learned about most about my faith. It's easy to walk by faith when you don't have any trouble. But you know, when you go through your trial, you go through your trouble, you learn, you know, hey, you know, I've seen this before. I've been through this storm before. I recognize it's the devil. I'm going to stay right where I am. And you're not moved. You're persuaded by the word of God. So to have patience means to be persistent. To tell the devil, no, I ain't moving. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to the end here. And to be persistent. It means the quality of not surrendering to circumstances. To be patient. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The word temptations, again, means to have so much pressure in your life that the devil put pressure on you so that you quit. You don't go to the end to see your patience, your faith will take you to the end so that you will get what you're supposed to get, what you're supposed to learn during these tough times. So we don't give in to surrender to circumstances. So we do not succumb. Patience means you don't fall and quit under the trial, under the pressure of life. Strong says, you know, his if you look in the Bible dictionary, Strong's dictionary, it says to be patient means a cheerful or hopeful endurance. You know, you have to have hope. You know, before you have your, you know, before you can get faith. Your hope comes in, then your faith gets a hold of that, and you go through the end. So, it also means, you know, it gives you a word picture to be loyal to the Word of God. It means to be constant, to be consistent, and waiting, continuing, and enduring in the trial. God doesn't want you to quit when you're supposed to be going ahead. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast our profession or confession of our faith without wavering. For he's faithful who has promised. Of course, the word there is, the word profession means confession. It's the same word, the Greek word is homologio, which means confession. It means to have, you know, the same confession as what God had said in his word about what's happened to you. That's why it's good to quote the word when you're going through a tough time. Say what the word of God says about you. It says, I can do this. God has gave me this opportunity and I'm going to stay with it. Talk to yourself. Meditate on that. Stand strong. Hang on. Don't quit. The devil will try to push you, intimidate you, and he'll try to make sure that you give up when you're supposed to be. In Mark chapter 4, the Bible, Jesus points out four kinds of people who hear God's word. They hear the very thing that you heard. You know, you can get people hearing the same word, they read the same thing, they come out at a different at the outcome because they didn't something happened to them in their lives. So, I wanted to remind you about this. A sower, the Bible says here in verse, let me just give you this verse of scripture. Mark chapter 8, let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 10 verses here, real quickly. Verse 5 to 15, let's read up here. I'm going to just mention some things as we go along. A sower went to sow his word, or sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Everybody say wayside. There are some people who are like that kind of a person, the wayside. They're just on the side there. Not fully committed yet. And it was trodden down. This seed was trodden down, fell to the air, devoured it. Some fell upon the rock. Everybody say rock. As soon as it was, it sprung up. It withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon thorns. Everybody say thorns. And the thorn sprang up with it and choked it, and the others fell on good ground. Never say good ground. That's what we want to be like. And it sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried. And he said, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? He said unto them, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Thank God. But to others in parables, seeing that they might see, and hearing they might not understand. And now this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear it, and come the devil, takes away that the word that was sown out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They that are on the rock are they which, when they have hear, receive the word with joy, and have no root, which for a while believe in a time of temptation fall away. And they which fell upon thorns are which they which have heard and go forth and choke with the cares and riches of the pleasure of this life, and it bring no fruit to the perfection. But they that are on good ground are they which have an honest heart. Everybody say, good ground. I want you to see this. In the time of your trouble, your discomfort, here's a guy. Good ground are these people. They have these qualities. You need to understand your own life and see whether or not you see yourself in this. It says the people with the good ground are they. These are the people. He said they have a good and honest heart. During a tough time, you have to understand. You have to be honest about what's happening in your life. Who caused the trouble? Did you cause that trouble? Did you help that out? Or be honest about what's going on in your life. Have this kind of heart. It says, which hear the word, and they bring forth with patience. When we can be honest about our own situation and take responsibility, then God can help you with the patience as you go out there. We can have patience during this tough time. So whenever you go through tough times, understand that God will help you through whatever trial that you're going through. He's not going to leave you where the tough situation is. You remember Jesus? Jesus was on a mission. And Mark chapter 4 says that Jesus was led out into the desert to be tempted of the devil. And God led him there into that situation. Sometimes God will lead you to certain areas. You'll have to go through a certain trial. And you have to endure that situation. And you will make it to the other side. Let's go ahead and close. Father, we want to thank you for this July 4th celebration of the 4th of July. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Let's go ahead and stand up and thank God. Father, we praise you. Thank you for the Word of God. We praise you for the multitude of blessings that you bestow upon our lives. We give you praise, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. For all things are yours, and everything belongs to us because we are your children. We give you praise tonight. We thank you that no matter what trial there is before us, that we will endure to the end, lacking nothing. There's not one thing that will stand in our way for us to go to the end. No trial, no temptation, no hard time is able to give us, to stop us from going on with the things of God. So we praise you. We ask you for forgiveness if when we have given to the situation. So thank you this night. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.